Two portions of scripture, both from the Psalms. The first from Psalm 90, quoted also in 2 Peter. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, or as a watch in the night. A day shall be like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And from Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and all those who dwell therein. The debate between issues of faith and matters of science has been a part of our human history since humans have been human. There's a professor at Texas Tech who teaches in the biology department that has made it a policy that any student going to medical school that wishes a letter of recommendation from him must look him in the eye and, in effect, swear an oath to the theory of evolution. I understand why he does that, and he's perfectly within his rights. None of us is required to write letters of recommendation for anyone for any reason. It's really up to us. But in some sense, it's also a rejoinder to that other issue that's out there, and we know where it is, that, well, if it didn't happen in 7 times 24 hours, and you don't believe that it did, you're probably going to hell. Well, it's just silly after a while to both negate the realities of science, as they tried to do in Galileo and Copernicus's time, and also to ignore matters of faith, which lead us to things that we cannot understand. And it occurs to me that the more we know even about science, it's possible the more faithful we might become. So if the two poles can talk to one another, both might be enriched in who knows how many interesting types of ways. One of the things we did last weekend was go down to Midland and tour through the Permian Basin Oil Museum, which was fascinating. And I apparently wasn't paying attention in fifth grade science because I had thought that the oil reserves in the United States and throughout the world were the result of dead dinosaurs. Apparently not. I learned, and let's just for a moment accept the age of the Earth as the geologists and the biologists have claimed it to be. I learned that roughly 500 million years ago, something happened in this part of the world, in and around the Permian Basin and in the Panhandle of Texas, which at the time was an ocean, that led to, many, many, many years later, the oil reserves that now sustain our lives. 500 million years ago, something started that has led us to be able to draw from and depend on this natural resource. Well, 500 million years sounds like a long time, but the age of the Earth is estimated to be roughly 5 billion years old. And 500 million years is only 10% of that in time. So let's imagine, for instance, just to put this into perspective, to kind of give that scientific insight some visual clarity to the extent that we can. I paced it off. From the back wall to the base of that step is roughly 50 feet. If we convert years to feet, and the Earth is 5 billion years old, 1 billion years is represented in distance by every 10 feet. Okay? That means 500 million years ago, 90% of the way up here, is about from the distance from the bottom of the step to 5 feet away. With me so far? God apparently, in God's design of the earth and the universe, prepared for 4.5 billion years to the point where the process began that led to the formation of what we know as the Permian Basin Oil Reserve. 500 million years ago, 5 feet out from the bottom of the step. A tenth of that is 6 inches. A tenth of 500 million years is 50 million years ago in distance. We're now 6 inches from the base of the step. A tenth of a tenth of a tenth of that, of a tenth, four times, is 5,000 years ago, the point at which we understand human beings started to use written language. And a little more than half of that is about 2,000 years ago in the birth of Christ. So how close are we to the base of the step now, in perspective, as it were? What's intriguing to me is that apparently this was all part of a well-designed plan. That what was put in motion 5 billion years ago became the Permian Basin Ocean, full of plankton, not dinosaurs, which are the source of our oil reserves, taking another 500 million years to take us to the base of the steppe where we now exist and live and depend on this amazing natural resource. The fact that this was apparently part of an extraordinarily well-designed plan makes me feel more faithful. The more I know about the science part, the more faithful it seems my faith is strengthened by what I now cannot begin to fathom in many ways. Well, I also teach an honors class. It's called Religion and Health in American Society. And this last week, we were fortunate enough to have as a guest in our class a physician in town who is also a man of great faith. He's a member of the Church of Christ and carries his faith into his medical practice. And so we started talking about what that meant in terms of the practice of medicine and the power of prayer. And among the many key insights that came out of that was one in particular where he said, as a physician and as a scientist, I can put impediments in the way of bacteria. I can prescribe antibiotics. I can excise tumors. I can get in the way of disease through my scientific knowledge. But the healing is out of my hands. That's how he reconciles the science and the faith. As a scientist, he has learned how to place impediments in the way of disease. But the healing is out of his hands. Well, he is just one of many people called to do what all God's people are called to do. That is the thing we're gifted to the thing we're gifted and skilled to do. I can do the lecturing. I can provide the insights. But I also believe that the learning is in many ways out of my hands. In large part, ways that I will never know. It happens reasonably often. It happened just yesterday. I was in a store and one of the clerks said, "Aren't you Professor Cook?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, I was in your sociology class 5 years ago. And he told me something that he had remembered that I had forgotten I'd said. To what effect? To what avail? Hard to know, but he remembered it. We sang the hymn, "I Love Thy Kingdom, Lord." And I hadn't thought about him probably since the last time we sang that hymn. But when I was a young intern pastor, one of my colleagues, and in many ways a mentor, was an elderly pastor who was chaplain at a senior citizen facility in that town named George Nelson. "I Love Thy Kingdom, Lord" happened to be George Nelson's favorite hymn. And we had talked about some of what that meant to him and so on. And all I had to do was hear the opening line of the hymn, and I flashed back to some of the things that I learned from this good and decent and very skilled member of the clergy. Certainly now loving God's kingdom all the more because I'm certain that's where he is. You never know what impact you might have as an individual in a part of this well-developed plan. In many ways, it's as though our own skills and gifts and contributions to the world in which we share for a very short time have the level of impact of the ocean plankton that many years later created the oil reserves. We are a part of a very well-developed plan. How long did it take? A day shall be like 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. In some sense, it's a profound statement of faith to say, well, if you believe the Lord created it, what difference does it make how long it took? And the more I know about how long it might have taken, ironically, the more my own faith is strengthened. Because I learn in the process not only that there are things that I know, things that I can learn about plankton, not dinosaurs, things that I will learn, perhaps, as time goes on. And that's in one category, what I know and what I will know. But there's also so very much more that I can never know. I can never know what the next 500 million, much less 5 billion years, might bring to what God has created and has planned. And it occurs to me that if you compare what I know and will know with what I can't know, Well, that's a similar comparison to, as Mark Twain might have said, the lightning bug and the lightning. There is so much more that we cannot know, that we believe is in the hands of the one who put forward what we can see as an extraordinarily well-developed plan, placed us in the midst of it for a reason that only he can know for sure, but that we can discern in the company of others for the time that we have. And then it begins to make even more sense what the psalmist wrote, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." And an integral part of the fullness thereof is our own little lightning bug's worth of energy that contributes and continues what has been and moves us forward by God's unfathomable grace. We are who we need to be precisely at this moment. And what happens next? Well, the plan continues to be well developed and evolving. Amen.